We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, verses 39 to 44. Translation. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted, and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Mukam karadi vashayam pangam angaladevi yakipandam vande shivamirachayam om agyana tinirandasya Yananjana Sharakaya Chakshan Ritam Yena Tasmai Shudare. So what do you remember from this morning's class? Adipush.
Whole universe is Krishna.
Whole universe is Krishna, right. Whole universe is Krishna. Any way you look at it. Yes.
Krishna controls time.
Okay? Krishna controls time. The whole universe is Krishna. So now, the most wonderful of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, where he reveals his own mood in preaching, and Srila Prabhupada also, and the purports will also reveal his mood in preaching. Krishna consciousness is very similar to Prahlad Maharaj. So in the opening verses to this chapter, Prahlad explained the qualifications for having one's prayers heard by the Lord. And he requests Nrisimha to give up his anger, because those who you came to protect are now afraid. But Prahlad is not afraid. He's afraid of his material world. So when will you call me to your lotus feet? So we heard a lot about mercy, and then we heard about the material world and how we're in this world. But actually it's all Krishna and the form of Krishna, which is the most merciful, is mentioned in verse 38, the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, indirectly mentioned. It's a prediction. And so Prahlad is now in the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he, in this mood, he will say these next prayers here. So here Prahlad, in the beginning, Prabhupada says, in the first paragraph of the purport. Here Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world, but on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. And so this is the problem of everybody in the material world today. When your mind is so disturbed, then you can't talk about Krishna consciousness. The thing on your mind is what's disturbing you, not the solution to the disturbance is if you talk about Krishna. And the more you talk about what's disturbing you, the more disturbed you become. And so this is the material world. End of the purport. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value to any method other than chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in previous verses. And then he quotes a future verse. Prahlad further confirms, if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and his activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world. And this one can achieve simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus one becomes free from all material bondage. So here we have the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, Vikuntanata. And here we, and then on the other hand, we have the misery of this material world. So when his father asked him, what's the best thing you learned in school? Then he addressed him, Asurya Varya and Asad Dhyam. You're accepting, your intelligence is accepting things which are Asat. Prabhupada explained about the mentality of the Asuryas in his lecture on this verse. A very interesting thing Prabhupada said, and I think it's true. He said that this understanding of being free from anxiety, the Asuryas, the demons, cannot understand why they should be free of anxiety. They like anxiety. He's Prabhupada said they'll create a situation to put themselves in anxiety and then try to come out of it, and then they'll be a big hero. So it's their success in the struggle for existence. That is demoniac mentality. Prabhupada said that is their heroic activities. That they'll create a situation full of anxiety and then they'll become successful in coming out of it. Yes, the power lies within you, they will say. But what is that power within you? That they do not know. It's super soul. And so... So Prahlad Maharaj, he's simply satisfied with Krishna. That's the difference. The sura, the devotee, depends on Krishna. The asura depends on himself. So therefore, he's always full of anxieties. So Prabhupada calls the material disease heart palpitation, anxiety. And to cure the heart palpitation, simply read our books, Prabhupada says. Chant Hare Krishna and read the books. So kamataram, here it says kamataram in the Sanskrit. Prabhupada picked out this word. Kamataram means unlimited material desires. And what is the result of kamataram? Harsha, shoka, bhaya. That means happiness, distress, and fear, lamentation. So this is the result of unlimited material desires. I think Bhagavad Gita also talks about chintam aparimeyam cha. They have unlimited anxieties, so they're bound in a network of illusion. So Prabhupada said, we're trying to therefore raise these people to a higher standard of life, human life, human standard. How the dogs and cats will become Brahmins, he said, that is our mission. To make dogs and pigs and cats into Brahmins. That is our mission. Kamataram. Now they are completely captivated by all their unlimited desires. And the way to get out is what Prahlad Maharaj says, Tava katasu vikuntanatam, by Krishna kata, shinvatam sakata Krishna. Then everything that is inauspicious in the heart will be reduced. All of us. So what is inauspicious in the heart in the Sanskrit here? What is the word? It's not inauspicious, but I mean, what are the things in the heart which are very... Kamataram. Durita dushtam, sinful activities, pollution. We have pollution. Harsha shoka bhaya, yes. These are all fear. These are all causing our things in the heart. Kamataram. Then again, he recommends deity worship to help, which is also very helpful. So, comment by Jiva Goswami. For their benefit, the Lord mercifully teaches scriptures. Some individual spirit souls who in previous births performed religious ceremonies and became purified to directly see the Lord, and other individual spirit souls who attained the mercy of great souls by their glance or another way, simply by hearing description of the qualities of the Lord, see Him face to face. So that is beautiful Bhagavatam, given by Vyasadeva. If you attentively and submissively hear the message, you will get the Lord in your heart. So Jiva Goswami says, hearing about the Lord gives a seed to see the Lord face to face and destroys the seed of lust and other vices. So one seed is the seed of devotional service, and we get that by hearing. And the other seed is the seed in our heart of lust and so many bad things, and that gets destroyed by the seed of hearing. Okay? Verse 40. Jivai kato chitavika shatima vichitta shishnam yatas chagadaram shavanam kudaschi Pranayatasya palate kacha karma shakti vaiva sapatya ivage apachinuranti. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. So just imagine the picture of this. People think the more enjoyment we have, the better, but actually it's not like that. Prabhupada is saying, Prahlad Maharaj, a man with many wives, just like the senses. And at the end of the purport, Prabhupada again stresses, the only method of controlling the senses is to chant and hear the holy name of the Lord. Otherwise, one will always be disturbed, as a householder with more than one wife would be disturbed by them for sense gratification. So the first sense is jiva. Oh, welcome. First sense is jiva, the tongue. And so the tongue is attracted by so many varieties of food. He says, especially, there are so many restaurants on the street and people, they go. Even now in front of our temple, there's, I don't know how many places to eat. There's little restaurants, and then there's the guy who makes the things on the... Anyway, there's so many just across the street. Just to attract the tongue. Prabhupada said, especially in Bombay, every other shop is a restaurant. He says, in Germany, every other shop is a drinking shop. Where they drink trinken, he says. They call it trinken. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we have our senses and there are enemies. They're serpents. Our senses are meant for serving Krishna, and Maya is saying, no, why engage your senses to serve Krishna? Engage your senses in my service. So the tongue is telling, you already ate, but that's okay. You come to this restaurant and you eat more. We have some more. Come here. Eat this. Do that. The Prabhupada said, yes, this is the... We are servants of the tongue. We're servant of the eyes. We're servant of all these things. All of our different senses. We're servant of so many senses. He says, in the animal kingdom, they are servant, but they're only servant of one sense. But the human being is servant of so many senses. So therefore, sometimes the senses are fighting. And your tongue may want one thing, your stomach may want another thing, your ears may want another thing, and this is what's happening. So Prabhupada gives in his lecture on this verse, he expands on the picture of the verse. So suppose you have 12 wives, and it's nighttime. And when you come home, every wife is waiting to catch you. So one wife gets you by the hand, another by the other hand, one grabs your hair, one grabs your other leg, and they all want to get you to come to their room. And so he said, that's how our senses are. They're all snatching. Just enjoy this. And then what is the poor man? He's so disturbed condition. So this is going on with all of us. We all have so many wives. We have six wives, our senses and our mind. Or more than six, actually. There's 10 senses in the mind. We have 11. 11 wives. Even if we're women, we have all these wives. Because either they're wives or else they're snakes. They're snakes, one or the other. So we have to control them by engaging them in Krishna's service. And again, deity worship. To use your senses in the service of Krishna. Make garlands for the deity. Bring something nice for the deity. And this is the beginning of love, Srila Prabhupada said. So verse 41. Evam sukarma patitam bhavavaitanam nyam nanyam yajama marana sanabhita bhitam pasyam janam saparavigra vaira maitrim hante ki paracharapi priyamur hamasya adhya. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. So before we had a question about why Prahlad is saying we. So now we see that actually he's saying we. He's including himself in the company of all conditioned souls. He's saying we, meaning all conditioned souls. Look upon us. We are on this side of the river, Vaitarani River, and we're suffering. You are on the other side. You can easily bring us back. You're the Lord of creation. So it's not difficult for you to do. So all suffering souls, this is the same mentality of every acharya in the parampara. Vyasadev, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this was his mentality. The first verse of Bhagavatam, he says, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So Dhimahi, Srila Prabhupada in his lecture on that verse, he said that this Dhimahi is plural. It means, let us all meditate on Krishna. So he's taking all of us with him. He wants all of us to go back to Godhead. Vyasadeva has that desire. Prahlad has that desire. That all of us are suffering. So we should, Krishna, please put your glance on us so that we may go back to Godhead. So here is a picture. We are floating in a river. And what do we find in this Vaitarani River? So many horrible things. So many nasty things in the river of Vaitarani. We are floating. There's birth, death, disease, old age. There's things we don't want to eat that we're forced to eat. So many things. The children, they don't want to eat meat. They have to be forced when they're young. And so this is part of the river. What's another analogy describing our position in this material world? One is a river. River Vaitarani. Flowing. Hmm?
Blind well full of snakes.
Blind well full of snakes. Okay. What else?
Ocean of nations.
We're in an ocean of nations. Blazing fire of material existence. So you take your pick. We're in one of those. That's the news, or else we're being fried in the frying pan of the material world, according to Mahabharata. And the stirring ladle is... who is the stirring ladle? I forgot already. Maybe the cook is time, I believe. Anyway, so the seasons. Okay, so any way you look at it, we're suffering. And now it's the river. We're in this river. We're flowing. It's taking us to birth, death, disease, and old age. Another example is the chakra, the wheel. There's the wheel, and we're being crushed by the wheel of time. So these are all different pictures of what's happening in this material world. What's the news of this material world? That we are all suffering. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj, a pure Vaishnava, prays to the Lord, not only for himself, but for all other suffering living entities. There are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajanandis and Ghoshtanandis. The Bhajanandis worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit, but the Ghosht Anandis try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. So this is the mentality. He's a Ghosht Anandi. He's not a Bhajanandi. Prahlad Maharaj. And also, that's the difference. Gorkishore Das Babaji was a Bhajanandi in one sense. He did not go out and preach, but his disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta, preached very widely. Preached very widely. He was Ghosht Anandi, and Prabhupada also. So here at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, Jaridaka Tariko Krishna Upadesh. One must therefore become a sincere servant of Krishna. Amaraka Guru Hoya Tara Hidesh. One should become a guru and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world simply by preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So in the beginning of our movement in 1966 in New York, one of the first Bhagavad Gita lectures Prabhupada gave to the hippies with long hair and everything, he said, so we require hundreds and thousands of spiritual masters to go all over the world and preach this Krishna consciousness. So I don't know what the hippies were thinking. Prabhupada had his ideas, his vision, to transform all these hippies into preachers and go all over the world and preach. That was in August 1966, just after the incorporation of ISKCON. So now we had our ISKCON, and now what is the purpose of ISKCON? Go out and preach. Be a Goshtanandi. So Prabhupada gave that order. In many, many of his classes, he gave that order to everyone, every one of his disciples. You become guru and you preach. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's mentality as well. He's describing all the miserable conditions of life. And he says, evam swakarma patitam. So whose creation is it? It's our karma. By my karma, I have fallen into this material world. Evam sakarma patitam. And that's also, what did he say with the spiritual master? It's also due to my karma, I think he said. Evam janani patitam pravahi kupe. Oh, by material desires. Kama bikama manuya patapam pasangat. By association with material desires. Following the general populace. There was one story, children's story, that there was one, the Pied Piper. So he came, he blew his flute, and one rat followed, and all the rats followed, and they all fell into the ditch. So the material world is like that, that Maya is coming, one person follows, everyone follows, and they fall into the ditch. The blind leading the blind. So we're fallen. Evam sakarma patitam, fallen. But it's not Krishna's fault. The judge gives the judgment that this one should be hanged and this one should get $1 million. So the judge is not partial. He's just ordering that this person has deserved $2 million and that person deserves to be hanged. So this is God's law. But we come and we infect the different kinds of diseases and then we suffer. So we cannot blame him. Prabhupada says, it is my creation. It is our mind, actually, which creates all the suffering in this world. It's only the mind. So if we can get our mind to engaging in the lotus feet of Krishna, always chanting, then we'll be freed from so much suffering, hearing Bhagavatam. So this is the process for this age. So then, again, Prahlad Maharaj says, Pashan janam sapara vigraha vaira maitram. We see friends and we see enemies. Vaira means enemies and maitra means friends. We see a different person, we see different people in different forms. Sometimes we see someone in the form of an enemy, sometimes we see a form of a friend. But it's all illusion. Prabhupada said this contradiction will continue and as long as you're in this material world. And he described that how friendship and enemies, he says, in the school, in the school they have a punishment where if two boys are causing trouble in the classroom in India, this used to be in Prabhupada's time, then they put the two boys facing each other and each one grabs the other's ears and they both pull on the ears. So that's their punishment. So these people are in the material world, the demons are fighting each other. Different countries are fighting. One's pulling the other's ears and the other's pulling the other's ears, and they're both suffering from the punishment of this material world. Sapara vaira maitram. That's what Prabhupada's comment on that. And everybody is mudhas. But there won't be any peace because there's no peace between mudhas. So another point, Briha Bhagavatamrita comments on this verses 41 and 42 about Lord Nrisimhadev. It is said, this is about Prahlad Maharaj, responding to your Lord's love, you agreed to assume your father's throne. And as you told Lord Nrisimha in your prayers, by doing this, you wish to help deliver all people. You are still on that royal seat, fixed in meditation of Lord Nrisimha. So how did Prahlad go about fulfilling his requests in these prayers to the Lord, or how did the Lord go about fulfilling Prahlad's request, is that he made him king. of the demons. And there, in that position of management or of king, he could deliver so many souls to Krishna consciousness. So this is what Bihar Bhagavatamrita says. The comment, the purport, considering this is Bihar Bhagavatam 1.4.10. Considering the Lord's unconditional affection toward him, Prahlad finally agreed to sit on the throne of his father. He intended to use the vast wealth of Hiranyakashipu's kingdom for preaching. If he could arrange for the deliverance of everyone in the universe, Prahlad calculated, that might satisfy the Lord. So that was his idea. That was how these prayers, now these present prayers, are going to be fulfilled. So then there's a comment. It certainly seems curious. Prahlad at first refused elevation to the spiritual kingdom, but later accepted a limited kingdom in the material world. But Prahlad did this because of a special hankering in his heart, his desire to free the people of the world from their distress. He did not worry that by involvement in politics his own spiritual interests would be endangered, since he was confident that his unbroken meditation on the personality of Godhead would always protect him. So he says, now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. So Prahlad, he's talking about the river Vaitarani, gateway to the court of death, it is said here. But he was immune to these dangers because he was always chanting. So he's saying these prayers for our benefit. Our benefit. Parachara, Lord Nisringa is on the other side. You please glance at us and pick us up from this ocean, from this river of Vaitarani. So verse 42. Konvatate kila guru bhagavan vayasa Uttarane sabhavasam bhavalopaheta Mudheshuva maharanugraha artabandha Kim tena tipya janam manase vatamna. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? Now, who are these fallen souls, these devotees engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. So on the one hand, we're mudhas, we cannot see Krishna. You know, this is a prayer of Kunti, that you are irreproachable, you're transcendental, you cannot be seen, you're covered by the curtain of Maya. But on the other hand, we have the Lord, and he's artabandho, he's the friend of the poor. He's mahadanugraha, he's very merciful. And so Krishna, in his most merciful form of Lord Chaitanya, can take us back to Godhead. So this is, again, I would see a connection here with Lord Chaitanya and these verses which are being spoken now by Prahlad Maharaj.
Do the acharyas recognize the connection too?
Let me see. There is a comment here from Bihar Bhagavatamrita about this verse. Here Prahlad addresses Lord Nisringa as the spiritual master of all souls, implying that it is quite fitting for him to show mercy to everyone without exception. So it's saying, Lord Nisringa, for the Lord to deliver every soul in existence should not be a great endeavor, because he creates, maintains, and destroys universes as a mere sport. And even less difficult should it be for the Lord to deliver his own devotees and their servants like Prahlad, who considers himself a fallen demon with the one good qualification of being Narada Muni's faithful disciple. Now he's praying to Lord Nisringadev, according to Sanatan Goswami, Lord Nisringadev. But the connection would be Srila Prabhupada in his purports and in his lectures, where he brings in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this purport also, he'll bring in Lord, and actually practically in every purport, Lord Prabhupada is making Srila Prabhupada.
This is still from when Lord Chaitanya is mentioned.
Yes, verse 38. Then you just notice the purports. They're mentioning Lord Chaitanya. This purport will also mention verse 41. We're in verse 41, it mentions Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, although Lord Chaitanya is personally the Supreme Lord Krishna, he comes as a devotee to preach the Krishna conscious movement. Practically every purport. Now in this purport also, he'll mention Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu. Here the words Priya Janan Anusevatam na indicate that the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very favorable to devotees who act according to the instructions of his own pure devotees. In other words, one must become servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If one wants to become servant of the Lord directly, this is not as fruitful as engaging in the service of the Lord's servant. So this is, again, he mentions Lord Chaitanya. This is the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who shows us the way to become Gopi Bhakti Padakamalayor Das Dasa Nidasa. One should not be proud of becoming directly the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, one must seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, and engage oneself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. Opposite of the material world. This is also the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara praptam imam majar sayovidu. So this is an interesting connection. Whenever you hear the words servant of the servant, it is connected to being in the parampara. Servant of the servant means that you're following parampara. Whenever you see, Prabhupada makes a direct connection here. Evam parampara praptam imam majar sayovidu. Because we're in 32 or 33 or something like that from Krishna. 32 gurus or spiritual masters. I lost track actually. 30. It's in the 30s. So how many servant of the servants are we? Even now at this point.
These are only the prominent ones.
Huh?
These are only the prominent
ones. Yeah, these are only the prominent ones. So we are really servant of the servant. That's a fact. And that's our identity right now. Prabhupada says, one can understand the science of a Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the parampara system. In this regard, Shanaratam Das Thakur says, Tadaya charanase bhaktasaniva. Let me serve the lotus feet of devotees of the Lord. Let me live with devotees. Janame janame hai eyabilas. Following Narottam Das Thakur, one should aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servant. So here's another one. Whenever you see, let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, it means servant of the servant again. Life after life, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura sings, Tumito Thakura Tomara Kukura Balaya Jana Hamore. O my Lord, O Vaishnava, please consider me your dog. One must become the dog of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee, for a pure devotee can deliver Krishna without difficulty. Krishna Shetamar, Krishna Dite Paro, Tamara Shakti Ache. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee. And if we take shelter of a pure devotee, he can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee, and therefore he prays to Krishna, my dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee, so I may engage in his service, and you may then be pleased. The Lord says, Madhbhakta Puja Pyatika. Engaging in the service of my devotee is better than trying to engage in my devotional service. And the devotee will say, serve Krishna. And Krishna will say, serve the devotee. So who wins the competition? The devotee or Krishna? Krishna wins, huh? Okay, so the highest, yes? Bhakti. Oh, bhakti wins. Okay, there's bhakti on both sides. So bhakti is the winner of the competition between Krishna and his devotee to serve each other. So that is the competition going on in the spiritual world. Here the competition is to see how we can become master of more and more people and more things. And in the spiritual world, the competition is how we can become servant of more people and more things. So this is, Prabhupada says, actually he quotes Prahlad Maharaj, we are suffering, we're praying to you, it's not difficult, you manage the universe, so that means you can also bring us on the other side of the river, where you are. And Prabhupada directly says that this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He quotes Narottam Das Thakur in his lecture. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Kara Mare. Lord Chaitanya, please give me your mercy. So then Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya said, well, why should I give my mercy to you? You're so sinful. You're so fallen. My mercy is not meant for you. Narottam says, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. Your avatar is for the most fallen. So I'm qualified. No doubt. So this is Tomabina Kedualu Ke Dayalu Jagata Singshari. There's nobody more merciful than you. So everyone has to do some work to give their mercy. But Krishna, he doesn't have to work hard, that's what Prahlad's saying. It's not difficult for you to give mercy. And he's requesting for everyone in the universe, please give mercy to these people who are suffering here. Mudhas. So here the word mudha is going to be repeated in this verse and the next verse. Please save all these mudhas. Especially show favor to the mudhas. Advaita had that mood, that mentality as well. He said, Lord Chaitanya asked Advaita Prabhu, that ask for a benediction, just ask for something from me. Because he was giving benedictions to everyone. So what did Advaita say? He said, you please deliver the most fallen in this material world. Those who have no qualification. You give them mercy first, and then I will be happy. So that was Advaita's request. Those who are not in the Varnashram, those who are the lowest in the Varnashram, those who are outside, you give them mercy first. So that is Lord Chaitanya's mission, Nityananda's mission, Srila Prabhupada's mission. They're carrying the mercy and giving it to us. So in the next verse, next two verses are very famous verses. I quoted, especially this one, is quoted very much by Srila Prabhupada. And Jiva Goswami comments that this verse, verse 43, shows the intermediate stage of devotional service, means madhyam, the mentality of a madhyama devotee. So this is verse 43. Naivo dije paradarat yayavai taranyas chadhi agayana maham mitamak nishita shavcheta chavimukacheta sayam viyata mayas kayabaram uvahata vimurahan. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So now we know Prahlad is revealing his real heart, that he's not worried about his own deliverance. He's already delivered and he's already happy. He's satisfied just chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the glories of the Lord. He's absorbed and that's his happiness. So he's not suffering like everyone else. Everyone else is suffering and so he's not complacent that, oh, I'm so lucky, I got God realization, now I'm self-realized. To hell with the rest of the world. No. That is the yogic mentality. The yogis, they're, and we'll see that in the next verse, the yogis, they're concerned for their own liberation. But Prahlad Maharaj, he is a devotee. The devotee is the highest yogi. Yoginam api sarvesham magatinantaratmana, always thinking of Krishna with great faith. So the last paragraph in the purport, there is a river known as Vaitarani, between the material and spiritual worlds. And one must cross this river to reach the other side of the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. Prabhupada quotes Gita, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. Duratyaya, very difficult. One cannot surpass the stringent laws a material nature, except by the mercy of the Lord. So what is the rest of the verse? The rest of the verse tells us how to go beyond this the modes of material nature. What does the rest of the verse say that Prabhupada is quoting? Mama? Vaye prapadyante. Surrender. If one who surrenders, maya metam taranti te. He can go. He will be delivered. He can go across. So in the 10th canto, in the beginning, the demigods also talk about this in their prayers to Lord Krishna in the womb. They talk about a certain boat, which the great souls, they take a boat across the river, and then they leave the boat on the other side for everyone else to cross. So what is that boat that they take across the river?
ISKCON.
The demigods, when they were praying to Krishna in the womb, were saying, you take the boat of ISKCON across the river. Actually, it was the lotus feet of Krishna. You take the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna. And what happens? How does this work? Yes. Yes. Calf's footprint. So this is what happens is when you approach the lotus feet of Krishna by taking shelter of the pure devotees who know how to drive the boat, know how to steer the boat, then the ocean shrinks and you're on dry land. And you don't even have to take the boat anymore. You just simply, of course, you're always in the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. But the ocean shrinks so you can just walk over it. You don't even have to jump over it. It shrinks to the water in a calf's hoofprint. So this is what happens when you wake up to reality. The illusion, when you're asleep at night and you're dreaming, then nothing can get you out of that dream except unless you wake up. You wake up and the whole dream shrinks and it's gone. And so now we have to wake up and see the reality of Krishna. And that's permanent reality. We should not take shelter of the illusion. So this is what's going on here. And he wants everyone to go across. So in the purport, the same word, we read that. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious trying to serve the Lord are not unhappy, whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. So he was always absorbed in kirtan. Kirtan is the greatest happiness. Tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Magna chitta, that's an interesting word. Magna chitta. What is?
Fully absorbed.
Fully absorbed. Magna. Magna chitta. Chitta is consciousness. Magna chitta. Is there any other words for magna besides?
Magna means immersed.
Immersed. Okay, immersed, absorbed. Okay, so magna chitta, his heart was absorbed. So where is the place for any unhappiness? He was always happy. The Srila Prabhupada says that we should understand that our unhappiness, happiness and unhappiness are already fixed up according to our karma, so don't waste time trying to be happy in this world. It's all, whatever you're going to get will come to you. Whatever you deserve to get, whatever is required, it will come to you. So don't try. We should not be disturbed, but save time and advance in Krishna consciousness. What verse in Bhagavatam expresses? Of course, there are a few verses. One verse. That tasyaiva hito prayateta kovido. Yes. That you should, though, don't waste your time going up and down from the highest to the lowest planet, because it's all miserable. Abrahma bhuvanaloka. It's a miserable place. So save your time and advance in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he was commenting about Prahlad Maharaj. Personally, I have no anxiety because I've learned the heart how to be happy, thinking of your glorious activities. So Prabhupada says that we have to practice this Krishna consciousness and teach others. And he was talking about himself. Unfortunately, I'm trying single-handed. This was in 1972, actually. Nobody is cooperating in India. They will throw millions of dollars in gunpowder, but not for this Krishna conscious movement. He says, every philosopher, every scientist should come forward and try to understand this movement. That is 1972, I think, Vishakhapatnam. So here, Prahlad, of course, we hear how happy he is, but still, there is something disturbing his happiness. Shoche, he's lamenting. What is his lamentation? Vimukha Chetasa, for those who are turning their face away from you, they are suffering so much. If you turn your face away from the sun, then you see darkness and shadow. So you turn your face away from Krishna, then you see so many problems, so many disturbances. So he says, I have no problem, I can just sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna and read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. He's quoting Prahlad Maharaj. I can just read Bhagavatam or Gita underneath any tree and be happy or chant. But I'm lamenting for these rascals who are making big plans for happiness in this world. And what is the nature of this happiness here? There is a Sanskrit word here.
It's
Mayasukhaya.
And Bharam.
It's a burden. False burden. They're taking on burdens unnecessarily. Or another way of looking at it is that we already have one anartha, and that's this body and this mind, and they are bringing more anarthas, or adding more anarthas to the problem. And so this is what's going on in this material world, and Prahlad is he's seeing it because he's living with demons, and he's seeing how they're not happy, how his father was not happy, he was not satisfied. He took the burden of the universe on his shoulders, but he was still not satisfied, and he had all these wives which were his senses, which were demanding him to go this way and that, and he was not happy. And so therefore, he wants to deliver all the demons from their unhappiness in this material world. Just like one time, my son and his friend were sitting, they were young, I think they must have been about 9 or 10 years old, they were sitting on the floor in my house, and they were watching this little ant going around in circles. And the ant had such a huge burden on its back, and that's why it couldn't walk straight, because it had this huge, it was like three times the size of the ant. It was one of those big ants, but still, it had a big, huge thing on its back. And so they were watching the ant, they said, what should we do for this ant? So then one of the boys said, okay, let's take the burden off of its shoulders, and then it can walk properly. So they did. They knocked off the burden, and the ant could go. But nobody wants the burden to be taken off in this world. They want the burden of opulence, janma, aishwarya, shuta, shri. These are the burdens that people are carrying, and so they're going around in circles. They can't walk straight because they have these burdens. So the devotee is very kind. Krishna is very kind. He takes the burden away. And when that happens, then people, they look and they say, oh, why is Krishna doing that to his devotee? He's taking away everything from him. But actually, it's so the devotee can be free in his worship of Krishna. So these things are happening. Vimutas. Why are they not only muta, now we're getting a very strong word. Vimuta. Very much muta. More than rascal. Special rascal. Vimuta. So because although they're completely controlled, they're making plans to be independent. Vimukha Chetasa. I don't like Krishna. I don't care for God. Now this is Vimuta. So Prahlad, in the next verse, he will say, I want to take all these mutas with me. Give me that power. So therefore, again, the same conclusion today, Prabhupada, in one purport and in two lectures, had the conclusion, we should become, therefore, a dog for a Vaishnava. That would be very nice for us to do. Become Vaishnava's dog, and then we can be delivered. He says the Vaishnava can demand to Krishna, please, on my sake, please excuse him. I'll take him with me. So Krishna says, all right, you take him. You can take him. It's all right. So that's Prabhupada. We have to follow Srila Prabhupada very strictly. And this is his mood. We should not deviate from his mood. We have to... That is what it means to follow Srila Prabhupada. We accept his mood, his preaching mood, and try to help others. And this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj also. So Prabhupada was lecturing on this verse in Calcutta, 1976. And he said that for centuries there was no temple in Europe and America. Now there are hundreds and thousands of temples, and it will increase. You cannot stop Krishna's glories or supremacy. So if you work very sincerely for Krishna to spread his message, there cannot be any check. Because at that time there was a lot of opposition to our movement. There was a court case about brainwashing and so many things going on. So therefore he was preaching on Prahlad Maharaj. We are followers of Prahlad, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. So Prabhupada said that the spiritual master, sometimes he gets the power of God. So he is as good as God. Sakshat Haritena Samasta Shastra. Just like materially, if someone looks at this movement, it's now spread all over the world. Even Lord Chaitanya did not do it. He could not, Prabhupada says, even Lord Chaitanya could not do it. Does that mean I'm greater than Lord Chaitanya? He says, no, because we are servant. So Bhagavan keeps some work to be done by his devotee to give credit to the devotee. So all of us are servants of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada has kept some work for us to do so we can get the credit. And if we don't do it, somebody will do it. It's not a problem. There's so many people to do it. But we can get the credit if we actually follow Srila Prabhupada. And he has left so much for us to do. So much, so many parts of the world don't have, and like now, Vyayachi, there are so many parts of the world that don't have Bhakti Shastri, that don't have Bhakti Vaibhav. So in this class, many of us are expected to go and teach and preach these things, Bhakti Vaibhav, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to the devotees. He's begging first for the devotees and now for the rest of the mudhas in this material world. Now, Jiva Goswami makes a comment. No, he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, actually. That's interesting. How can he quote it? Okay, maybe I got my quotes mixed up here.
That's the other way around.
Yeah, it must be the other way around. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoting Jiva Goswami. So, yeah. Yes, that's the way it is. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if a Vaishnava preacher encounters one who is envious of him, the preacher should remain far away from such an envious person. But the Vaishnava preacher may meditate upon ways to save the envious class of men. Such meditation is called sadachar, or saintly behavior. What is that? No. Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a saintly person. So we may not be able to preach to the envious, but we can meditate on ways to save the envious. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. And Prahlad Maharaj's mood also. I think in America, there was this, I can't remember which year, but they destroyed the Twin Towers in New York. 2001. September. So after that, somehow in New York, they requested all of the religious groups to come together and offer prayers for this. Ravindra Sarup was our representative, Ravindra Sarup Prabhu. And he took the prayer from fifth canto of Prahlad Maharaj, that may all the envious people be pacified. That's what his prayer, that's how he, and it was well received by everyone. May all the envious people be pacified. Let them engage in devotional service of the Lord. And he explained it in terms that they could understand. So that is our mission, to pacify the envious. And it was Prahlad's meditation, as we see here, it's mentioned by Vishwanath, but actually he prays like that in the fifth canto, let all the envious people be pacified. And let them engage in devotional service to you. So verse 44, now he's going to make a comment on yogis. Prayena deva munayas favimuttikama maunam charanti vijanena paratanishta naitan vihayakipana vimamuksha eko nanya tarasya sharanam bhamato napashe. My dear Lord Nishinadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mount Vrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Lord Prahlad has found his happiness, and he also wants everyone to be happy. There is a saying in Sanskrit, Krishna, Krishna, Matirastu, Krishna, Matirastu. Let Krishna be with you, or God be with you. Or,
let your attention be fixed on
that. Let your attention be fixed, yes. Krishna, used to say that, Krishna, Matirastu. Let your attention be fixed on Krishna.
Let everyone happy.
Yes, make everyone happy. Let everyone be happy, yes. There are many sayings by the Vaishnavas. So I'll read the purport, the last paragraph, about five lines down. What's that? Yeah, let the whole world become happy. Yeah. Sanskrit saying for that. Oh, yes. That was what I was trying to think of. Sarve? How do you say that?
Sarve
Sukha?
Sukino.
Sikono Bhavantu. Who says that? It's from the Vedas?
It's a Vedic effort.
Exact source is not known.
Acha. Sarve Sukhe? Sukhani?
Sukino.
Sukino.
May the whole world be happy. May everybody see only auspiciousness and may nobody suffer.
May nobody suffer. So this is a desire of the Vaishnava. And this is being expressed here by Prahlad Maharaj. About the last paragraph, about five lines down. The devotee has no such interest. He's not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. Well, I remember one thing that happened at the Govardhan retreat. Sachinanda Swami was saying that sometimes he gets very disturbed, you know, he gets kind of fried because he's all the time, like morning till night, 1 a.m, preaching to so many people, so it's very difficult and he wants to get away and just be all by himself. And so we were in this, he was speaking like this and he's asked, any questions? And so this 8-year-old little girl, the granddaughter of Urmila, she raises her hand and she says, why did you want to get away from everyone? So that was, he said, what is he going to say? So anyway, yes, that is not our mood. Of course, we may feel like that many times. And we may even succeed in doing it many times. But I remember when I first joined, I was married, but there was no Grihastha Ashram facility, so we had to live separately. He's with the brahmacharis and I'm with the ladies. And I just had that realization that you don't get any private life when you live like that. You have no private life. So that's the sum and substance of this meditation, that he doesn't go off to the Himalayas or the forest. He has no private life. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place, so just so one may show he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he's interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj clearly says, Nanyantarasya sharanam bhamata napashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe, life after life. But by the grace of a devotee, a servant, a Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home, back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. Members of the Krishna conscious movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. Members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. And all these people were all over the West when Prabhupada came there. All these kinds of meditators and transcendentalists, pseudo-spiritualists, monists, philosophers. And that's what he had to deal with. And so this is our mission, is to preach. And we have to be, and to preach, you have to have this conviction that only Krishna, without Krishna, you cannot be happy. So what does that mean? That means we have to be happy too. That means we have to find Krishna for ourselves and be happy. If we're miserable and people look at us, they say, well, you know, you don't look very happy to me. What will they, why should they become devotees? So Prabhupada, he said that, he noticed one devotee was not so happy in one lecture, then he said, you know, symptom of spiritual life is that you're jolly. Jolly. So, and also it's a symptom of a kshatriya. I was studying for next week. One of the symptoms of a kshatriya that is that he's jolly. Interesting. Huh? Prashanta thinks because he's allowed intoxication, therefore he's jolly. Anyway, so the devotee is supposed to be happy. So think about it. Yes. Sri Prahlad used to. Yeah, not anymore. No, now he's in the grihastha life.
He's resting.
Yeah, his back is finished. His back is injured. Yes. Yes. It's interesting that you should mention that. She mentioned the point that with Indradyumna Maharaj, Sri Prahlad said their preaching was, they go on Harinam and they're very happy on Harinam and people are attracted. So I just read the last entry of Indradyumna Swami's diary. He was in Ireland. And in Ireland it rains a lot. And they were trying to do Harinam. It was very, very difficult. And the people, they weren't interested. But then they kept trying and they were, you know, then finally the sun came out and they were having very ecstatic kirtan. And then he overheard one man on the phone talking to his wife. He said, you know, I'm really considering joining these people. They're so happy. Really, I'm seriously considering joining these people. Some man with his cell phone. So that is the way, actually, to preach. He forces you to
smile.
Okay. Yes. And there's another one example that I told in a class some years, maybe last year, a year before, that Sachinandan Swami, some Indians somewhere in some city, he was preaching. They said, "We want you to come in our procession, kirtan procession." And they said, "You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Just smile." And that's enough. And so that's the smile is the way. Okay, Yashoda?
I just wanted to add to your question. Sita Altman, her husband, was attending a seminar in Parasari. He's a very sober speaker, very good, intellectual. And the fellow who was leading the seminar said, "I have nothing wrong with what you have to say. Everything you say is very convincing." He says, "Why don't you look happy?"
He says, "Yeah, nothing wrong with what you're saying, but why do you look so miserable?" us. Even though now winter has started, officially starting when the sun goes behind the clouds, and it's, you know, every reason, but we're still in Vrindavan, even if the fog comes and covers Vrindavan from our sight, and the cold winter begins. And so, yes, somehow we have to find the secret that Prahlad Maharaj found. We have to find happiness in chanting. We have to find happiness in kirtan and hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And then other people will say, "Oh, you Vaichi people, you look so happy. We should also join Vaichi and be happy." And so this is Prahlad Maharaj. He says, "Misers, I want to take all these kripanas with me back to Godhead." Kripana, miser. All these kripanas, in spite of suffering, still they're trying to enjoy. They're not endeavoring for liberation. They're just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So Prabhupada, in his lecture on this verse, said that by the grace of Krishna, you have to adopt a means that they may be interested a little bit about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, they're so dull and miserly, they don't understand Krishna conscious movement is very, very important for them. So different means to interest people. What are some different ways to interest people in Krishna consciousness? One way is to look happy and be happy, and people will be naturally attracted. They're always attracted because people want to be happy. So if they see someone else happy, they will come to you and say, "Oh, this person has something. I want to get that, what they have. Let me get that." So what are some ways to interest people in Krishna consciousness by the grace of Krishna? Adopt such means, Prabhupada says. Yes.
Dramas
are... Yeah, people don't even know they're participating in Krishna consciousness when they watch a drama. They just enjoy. We used to have street dramas when we were doing Harinam, different street dramas. So dramas is one way. Yes, cultural things. Well, this is, I don't know, somebody out distributing books now for the marathon. And I noticed she had a bell on her desk. I said, "What's the bell for?" And she says, "Oh, I try to bring people with the bell." So anyway, I said, "Does it work?" Anyway, so that's one way. But the other way is to be always... Radha Kun, my god sister, she distributes a lot of books. And she's always smiling, always encouraging people. Somehow or other, trying somehow or other to get them to chant, to take a book, like that. So this is the preachers. Preachers have to figure this out. And even they don't have to figure it out, they just depend on Super Soul. Learn how to depend on Super Soul. And so Super Soul helps, tells you what to say to the person that will actually interest him. And so Prabhupada, he adds a little bit to this, what Prahlad is saying in his lecture. He's Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vimamuksha Eko. I don't wish to go alone. And then Prabhupada adds some more words that Prahlad says that are not in the translation. Give me some strength so I can deliver some of them. It is not possible to deliver all of them. So he says, give me some strength so I can deliver these kripanas. So Bhaktivinoda says, Ekaki amar nahi pai bolo hari nama sankirtane. I'm alone, how can I push on the sankirtan all alone? You please give me your mercy, Eka bindu, one drop of your mercy. A job of faith, and then I can deliver them. So this is the mood of the Goshtyanandi, the mood of the preacher. He takes risks to spread Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you want quick recognition by Krishna, go on preaching. He said, even if it's imperfectly done, if you're sincere, any capacity, whatever you have, if you preach, Krishna will be very pleased. And he gave the example of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, who had a daily newspaper. If one brahmachari would sell 5 copies, he would be so happy. And, you know, 1 paisa each. They used to have 1 paisa in those days. Now the smallest is 50, I think. It's come to 50. And so one small newspaper for 1 paisa, then that would be great preaching by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So this is our mission somehow or other. Now, why do these people go to the Himalayas, these yogis? Because they're afraid, Prabhupada says. They're afraid. If I associate with ordinary people in the cities, I'll get disturbed and I may fall down. Let me save myself first. So that is the different mentality of the yogis. They're very concerned for their own deliverance. They're very concerned about bad association. So they go to the Himalayas where nobody is there. They go to the forest where nobody is there. But who is it that says they don't go alone? Is it Rishabdev or somebody? Even if you go to the forest, you take along with you the mind and the six senses. Like, again, I think co-wives. Co-wives, again. You take your co-wives with you when you go to the forest. Huh? Vanapras. Okay, so this is... So Prahlad is not worried about himself. He says, na parata nishta. These other people are not worried. They're not compassionate. They don't care about these vimudhas. He said, for myself, unless I take them with me, I will not go. So people may ask, Prabhupada says, that's all right, you want to take them with you. Well, what's the process? How are you going to do that? And then in this verse, what is the process? Last line. Nanyad tvadasa sharanam gamato napashye. Says, I want to teach them how to surrender unto you. That is my process. Because as soon as he surrenders, then his path is clear. Sarvadharma Pritya, again. So this is the process. Now, this is a quote from Jiva Goswami in Sundarbas. And Jiva Goswami asked the question, well, he prayed for all living beings, so why didn't they all become devotees? We see so many people here, they're still in this world and they're not devotees. So then he says, in this way it is seen, Prahlad has given his mercy to every single conditioned soul. So how is it they have not attained liberation? So Jiva Goswami replies, because the individual spirit souls are limited in number, they cannot all be understood by the mind and heart. So Jiva Goswami says he could only think in general but not individually. His thought went to those around him. His mercy was thus received by them. As many as were seen directly or directly heard by Prahlad, or as many as could be understood within his mind, all attained liberation by his mercy. So what about others? Then Jiva Goswami quotes a verse from 7:10:14. Other persons may hear and remember the glories. In this way, Lord Nrisingadev himself will be merciful to them. There's the verse that says, 7:10:14, one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from reactions of material activities. So they will become liberated. If you just simply hear about these pastimes of Prahlad, then you get also the mercy of Prahlad. If you hear about this and chant about it, remember it. If you remember it, then you will get the mercy too that Prahlad is expressing. You will get Prahlad's mercy that he's expressing in these verses. And the conclusion by Jiva Goswami, when it is time for one to leave this material world, he will meet a devotee. In other words, when one meets a devotee, his time has come to leave this material world. So then I'm giving another example from Indradyumna Swami. This is when he recently went to South America, and it shows the compassion of a preacher. So he went to this place called Paraguay. Paraguay. Anybody hear about this country called Paraguay? Yes. So it's a very small country, and it's famous for being a center for drug smugglers and all kinds of extremists, terrorists, this kind of thing. So he's going here. So before he went, he went onto the internet to see what he could find out about Paraguay. And so he said, he found this statement, he found more. U.S. citizens should avoid large gatherings or any other event where crowds have congregated to demonstrate or protest. Such activities have resulted in intermittent road closures, including major routes traveled by tourists and residents. U.S. citizens who encounter roadblocks should not attempt to continue the planned travel or to confront those at the roadblock. And when he was there, one such roadblock was there, and he said, we will turn back. So he said, I made a mental note, avoid roadblocks. As I continued to read, I began to wonder if I had made the right decision in going to Paraguay. Then he read some more. Organizations providing financial support to extremist groups operate in Ciudad del Este, and that's the city he was going, and several high-profile kidnappings for ransom have occurred. Avoid kidnappings, I thought, half-joking with myself. Then he kept on reading. Armed robberies, car thefts, and home invasions are common in both urban and rural areas. Street crime, including pickpocketing and mugging, is prevalent in the cities, particularly during the evening hours in the vicinity of hotels and airports. Then he thought, better I be careful when I land in Ciudad del Este. Anyway, no reason to be discouraged. Experience has shown such places often present the best opportunities for preaching. Then he's in the airplane. I soon fell asleep and woke up abruptly 45 minutes later as the flight was landing. Groggy from sleep, I grabbed my hand luggage and quickly got off the flight. I was the only passenger to alight. As I was walking towards the terminal, I suddenly realized I wasn't sure if the flight had actually landed in Ciudad del Este. I looked at the terminal building, but the sign on it didn't mention anything about Ciudad del Este. I presented my passport at immigration. "Is this Ciudad del Este?" I asked the officer. Either he couldn't understand English or he thought I was mad, because he just shook his head and laughed, stamping my passport and waving me forward. I had only hand luggage, so I quickly walked towards the exit to meet the devotees outside. Along the way, I was surprised to see a sign in English, and I stopped to read it. Warning, dengue fever prominent in this area. Transmitted by mosquitoes, it is found mainly in urban areas and around human dwellings. Take all necessary precautions. One more thing to watch out for, I thought as I walked out the door. But as soon as the automatic doors closed behind me, I realized there was nobody there to meet me. I broke out in a cold sweat. Maybe Ciudad del Este was the next stop, I thought. I pulled out my cell phone to make a call, but there was no connection. I decided to wait, and I sat down on the curb. At that moment, a group of 10 or 15 taxi drivers approached me. "Habla English?" I said. "Is this Ciudad del Este?" They laughed. Some said sí. Some said no. Immediately, all of them moved in and surrounded me. I knew I was in trouble. When I tried to stand up, one of them shoved me back down. The next moment, I saw my computer bag being picked up, and I grabbed it tightly. Off to my left, I saw my DD box being dragged away. I quickly caught it as well. As the men moved around me, I jostled to keep my bags by my side. Suddenly, a van pulled up, and I saw devotees inside. Then, as quickly as they had arrived, the taxi drivers disappeared into the darkness. "Everything okay?" said a devotee. "Couldn't be better," I said. "You guys arrived just in time." "How do you like Paraguay?" another devotee asked as I got in the car. "So far, it's everything I expected," I replied. I was a bit shaken by the incident at the airport, and I was silent as we drove through the night to a small temple on the outskirts of the city. As the van bounced along the cobblestone streets, I tried to study the scene outside, but it was too dark. I imagined it would look much like what I'd read, poor, undeveloped, and rampant with crime. When we arrived, a small group of devotees received me, and I then retired to my room. I lay down on my bed, exhausted. It was hot and humid, so I didn't cover myself until the mosquitoes discovered me. Then I wrapped myself up, preferring to swelter under the covers rather than risk dengue fever. A little corner of hell, I thought, as I drifted off to sleep. That night, I dreamt the taxi drivers kidnapped me at the airport, threw me in the back of a taxi, and drove away. They sent a message to ISKCON's GBC. It had 24 hours to pay a ransom of $2 million. The GBC wrote back that it couldn't pay because too many temples were in debt. As the kidnappers prepared to kill me, a host of angels appeared in the sky and started singing, scaring away my kidnappers. I woke up sweating. Was it a dream, I thought? Groggy from sleep. Of course it was, I said out loud, sitting up in the darkness. Suddenly, I heard the angels singing again. I quickly got out of bed and opened the door of my room. A flood of early morning light entered. I walked outside and the singing became louder. A devotee approached me. "Good morning, Maharaj. Did you sleep well?" "Where is that singing coming from?" I asked. "There's a Christian school just behind the wall of your room. All morning, the children sing beautiful Christian hymns." "Bless those little angels," I said as I went to take my shower. Later, I walked to the front of our property and was amazed to see a beautiful landscape of simple homes set in serene subtropical foliage. "Everything okay, Maharaj?" asked a brahmachari. "Yes, I'm fine. I didn't expect it. It wasn't in the reports. It's so beautiful. So the next day, devotees told me they had arranged two lectures at a local university. I was thrilled by the prospect. As it turned out, however, the university was a combined grade school and high school. The first class consisted of 200 children, 8 to 10 years old. As they sat staring at me, I tried to explain the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness in the simplest terms. But their attention span lasted only a few minutes. Soon most of them were talking among themselves, so I started discussing something they might better understand, kindness to animals. I was trying to tell them that animals have souls, when I noticed a little girl about 9 years old in the front row, listening intently. When I said we should not be cruel to animals, I saw a tear glide down her face. I decided to direct my talk to her alone. When I said all creatures are part of one spiritual family, her face lit up. When the recess bell rang, all the other children jumped up and rushed outside, but the girl sat still for a moment, reflecting on what she'd heard. Then she slowly got up and left. After the break, a group of 300 high school students entered. I asked Jagajivan Prabhu to speak to them. A different scenario unfolded as the students listened intently to his talk. Suddenly, I saw the little girl from the previous group enter the classroom and walk quietly along the back of the hall, down one side to take her previous seat in front. She immediately became absorbed in the lecture. After half an hour, Jagjivan Prabhu ended his talk and asked me to lead kirtan. I jumped at the opportunity. I wanted the little girl to experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. As I taught the students the mantra, I saw her repeating it carefully, word for word. As I started singing, many of the students stood up and started to dance. Perhaps intimidated by the older children, the little girl remained in her chair, enchanted with a concentrated look on her face. The kirtan became more ecstatic and other students joined the dancing. At one point, they all formed a single line weaving through the classroom. After a while, I looked at my watch and realized we'd gone way over our time limit. But when I stopped the kirtan, all the students started screaming for more. I had no choice but to start again. The campus was small and I imagined the whole student body hearing the kirtan. I looked through the window across the yard into other classrooms and I saw students swaying in their seats as they concentrated on their studies. About an hour later, I brought the kirtan to a close and glanced at the little girl. She was still in her seat, smiling and radiant, relishing the nectar of the holy names. "She's yours now, my lord," I thought. "Please guide her to your lotus feet." After a few moments, she glanced at her watch, jumped up, and quickly ran towards the exit. When she reached the door, she stopped, turned around, smiled at me, a look of deep appreciation in her eyes. Then she was gone. When all the children had left, I sat down and quietly reflected on how I'd been apprehensive about coming to Paraguay. Shaking my head, I looked upward and laughed. "Good Lord," I said, "you can send me to hell any time you wish, as long as I can hear the angels sing and there are souls like that little girl eager to chant your holy names." Well, that was a preacher's experience. And the same mood of compassion, just one soul. He was trying to save that one little girl, going to hell to save that little girl. Then he quotes Narayana Parasave Nakutashana Bipati Svargapa Varga Narake Shapituyarta Darshina. So that's the mood of the preacher. He goes anywhere and everywhere just to, for one soul. And that was Prabhupada's mood. So we'll stop here. And if you have any questions, yes. Jamashni. 43, Srila Prabhupada's mission. My concern is only for the fools and rascals.
I mean, clearly, paraphrases that, but yeah. I wonder if Prabhupada ever mentioned that.
Well, I think in the purport, one of these purports, we read something like that. I think the purport of 44, what we read, the paragraph I read, Krishna Conscious Movement was started for this purpose. We read that today. We do not teach one to meditate. Yes, it's definitely his mission. And he expresses it here, right in his purport. Members of Krishna Conscious Movement, he again and again, he's talking about ISKCON in the purport of 44. Yeah, this is our mission, and to deliver the fallen souls. It's right here. So, and you go to the end of the purport. This is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. So three times in the purport of 44. Members of Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So it's Prabhupada's mission, these two verses. And when our temple president, when Prabhupada had just left the planet, Then our temple president asked me to give some verses describing Prabhupada from the scriptures, and I said these two verses are exactly describing Srila Prabhupada. And so this is, yes, and Prabhupada says it right here. You just see the purport of 44, Krishna conscious movement was started for this purpose. There's one statement. Then another one, it's all in the last paragraph. The members of Krishna conscious movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation, nor interested in opening many schools for yoga. Rather, every member is interested going door to door, trying to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of Hare Krishna movement. So that's again and again. Manavan Puri.
On that word, Bharam.
Bharam. Burden.
False burden. We discussed way back in the third canto.
The third canto?
Difference between burden of the beast and burden of love.
Burden of the beast and burden of love.
Prabhupada, in Sri Sri 14, he compares the two, burden of the beast and burden of love. Burden of love means we undertake things which are difficult.
Right.
But for the sake of pleasing Krishna and Guru.
Okay. That's a nice.
And burden of the beast means we are toiling hard like Buddha.
Yeah. So burden of the beast is the muta, the ass. He's got the burden of the beast, and the devotee has the burden of love. We're trying to carry the teachings of Krishna to the mutas and the vimutas, the fools and rascals.
And that's probably so. Vaitarani.
Vaitarani. I think that was came up before because, in the summer.
It's mentioned in 41, it could be right at the door of Yamaloka, the planet of Yamaraj. This is the river surrounding the kingdom of Yamaraj. But in 43, it's compared to Viraja River.
Viraja, yeah.
Separating material and spiritual.
Material and spiritual worlds.
So it has two.
It has different meanings. Has different meanings. Yes. And when he says about eating, forced to eat disgusting things, then you think about the other river, Vaitarani, because it's pus and all kind of things, mucus, and that you're forced to eat in the river Vaitarani, which is surrounding
Yamaraj.
So it seems to refer to both things. Yeah, that it's also between material and spiritual worlds. It's also at Yamaraj's, and perhaps, well, we don't know exactly what the Vaitarani between the material and spiritual world is like, that we have to eat disgusting things in that river too. But we don't have to worry, because as our Prabhu pointed out, it will shrink to the water in a calf's hoofprint. So we just have to follow the footsteps, or probably would say follow the footprints of the pure devotee. So we follow the footprints of the pure devotee, and then we can easily cross over the ocean of material existence. Any other questions or comments on these verses? Yes. Yes. Well, don't think there weren't cinemas in those days. They had their own entertainment. It was probably live. Yes.
You mentioned in the fourth chapter.
Amazing things.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, what's this? Also, but the apsaras were dancing. I'm sure everybody was doing, for Hiranyakashipu, doing their arts. So, and there's another time, Narada Muni, we'll hear about that in this canto, I think, where Narada Muni was a Gandharva, and he was singing cinema songs instead of Hare Krishna. It's praising the demigods, like cinema songs in the heavenly planets, if you sing about the demigods. Yes. Yeah. Very high level. Prahlad Maharaj. Maybe that's how you feel, or maybe that's your excuses that your mind's giving you. So what's the biggest obstacle in our trying to preach? Well, he said anybody could preach in his lectures on these verses. Don't worry if you have some imperfection. Just preach what you know. Boiling the milk didn't refer to wait until you're perfect and then you preach. Boiling the milk meant that now we have devotees who are here. We have to take care of them and nourish them with spiritual food. Nourish them and help them advance. Don't keep them in ignorance. Don't keep them shudras. But we should give them spiritual nourishment, education, knowledge, whatever. Inspiration. Mature for what? Yes. Still, he shouldn't stop preaching. Prabhupada had everybody out preaching. He didn't say, yeah. Sometimes he would say that, but mostly he would say, just whatever you know, you should teach. But don't preach above your own realization. You have real. You must have. How many years have you been associated with ISKCON? 17. So maybe one or two realizations must be there, which you could share with somebody who doesn't have them, who is more unfortunate than you. I know one time, it was quite interesting, we were having a shloka class by Rohini Nandan Prabhu. I was attending his shloka seminar, how to memorize shlokas. One of the homework was that you had to go to a stranger and tell him the shloka you learned that day. So I went to one, in Vrindavan, in Vrindavan temple, I didn't go out of the temple. The only real, I mean, the strangers, they're all devotees, pretty much. So I found one stranger devotee who was just a young girl. And then as soon as I was telling, oh, I'd like to tell you what I learned today. And then she just started crying and she said, I've been here 2 weeks and nobody spoke to me. You're the first person who spoke to me in two weeks I've been here. So that's quite astonishing. She was, you know, dressed devotee, sari, everything, from Czech or some country like that. I don't know from where she was. But so there are people like that out there who visit our temple. And all you have to do is just even tell them a sloka, you know. You must know some slokas. Or even if you don't know a sloka, just tell one thing, you know. Explain who the deities are. This is Krishna, this is like Chaitanya. That much. And they appreciate it. They think, wow, I'm getting the mercy of the devotee. We're representing Krishna. We are his representatives in this temple. So when they see us, they think, oh, these people are, they belong here and they can help us. Okay, so that much we can do. That little bit. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Prashanta. Okay, here's a nice realization. The biggest obstacle in preaching is to consider oneself the doer. Yes.
That's how we end up thinking, oh, I can't do it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, and that's why we think I cannot do it, because you think you're the doer.
And truly we can't, because right. If we don't have the Dasya Bhav, of understanding that the guru is preaching, Prabhupada is preaching, and
yes.
Just waiting for our hands to go through, if we don't have that, then their Shakti is not going to show to us, and we will not be qualified.
Yeah, actually, Prabhupada is preaching through us. And that's how I feel whenever I try to before I give class and I pray to Prabhupada, please speak what you want to speak, what these people want to hear, what they need to hear. You please speak through me. And when I forget, then I make mistakes. But when I remember Prabhupada, then it becomes nice. So that's a very, in fact, that was my problem when I first, before I had to teach Bhakti Vaibhava, I was thinking, oh, all these devotees in the class, and even there was a Maharaj, and I was thinking, how am I going to teach? And then I had that realization that I'm not going to do it, it's Prabhupada who's going to do it. And I just have to open my mouth and study. Of course, you study. You study and you prepare, and then you come here, and then you depend on Prabhupada and what he wants to speak and what he wants to say through you. You depend on Super Soul, you depend on Prabhupada, and try to give their mood, and don't deviate from Prabhupada's mood.